Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I knew I was gonna see you again. Where you got damn book bag at? I was carrying that little book bag. Nobody wanna see that. That damn fourth grader. Sit your ass down. Showing up late again like he got something else to do. You don't got nothing else to do. You ain't doing nothing with your life. Nothing with your life. What you think this is? You better look at me when I'm talking to you. You think this is easy, don't you? You think this is a promise? There ain't nothing promised to you. Look at my face. Do I got a promise face? You look like I promised you anything. Kanye, Nick, did you snow in my class? Wake up, Mr. West. Wake up, Mr. West. Mr.
Man. What? Oh, I messed up. What a way to start off the show. Man. Good old Kanye. But we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. What's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the offering this beautiful April 25th, 2018. Look, I love Kanye's music. Don't know him as a person, don't care about him as a person. But that's not the important thing. You know what the important thing is, though.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
DJ Trouble. DJ Trouble.
Yeah.
These niggas up.
Good. MMG, nigga, can't all BS. I ain't with the BS. Catch me in the city, riding hard through the BS. Skinny nigga, but I do it large like a 3X. The last nigga tried do me wrong, he checked. Right back to that money, slinging O's in the PJ. Yeah. I'll probably catch a mileage while the pilot stay the PJ. Whoa. Cause we next and we flex like
90 PS. Working all night, no breaks or recess.
Vroom, vroom.
Yeah, I know my car sound like a T-Rex. Bitch, I'm 23 years old and I ain't riding in the Prius.
Word.
My cousin finished school, can't believe he graduated. Threw him $20,000, told his ass congratulations. Cause me? I wasn't made for that shit, but I could probably hire him and who I paid for that shit. And to all the hoes that was dissing, I pray to God that you see me. I'm on the yacht getting hella high, smoking good that seaweed. Bad bitch and her cha-cha, grabbing on her chi-chis. $1 million deals on my email, you mad as hell you ain't CC. Shane all VS, bitch you know it's BS. Boy, I run my city.
End of story, nigga, P.S. All white made back, Green Bay they packin'. Y'all niggas was packin', remember them hard nights, me trappin'. They say life's a game of chess, you can play checkers all in my jacket. Cause it's dominating, we bonds away on all y'all big rappers. I say, yeah, nigga, I murder that. Pan American.
Alright, that's going on. What's going on, folks? Good evening again. It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the off ramp. April 25th, 2018. Beautiful night here in the South, man. A little sticky. Little thunderstorms earlier, but it's been a good night. It's been a good week, man. I'm excited. Wednesday show. Got to you early. Got two guests on the line with me already. 301, what's going on?
What's up?
What up, Shannon? How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you, Philly?
Doing well. I got to save this number. This isn't the number I have for you.
Oh, this is my house, my landline.
You have a landline, yo? It's 2018, yo.
I work from home a lot.
Yeah, everything goes in the cloud, yo. Nothing is on landline anymore.
Yeah, I work from home, so I use it to call in the meetings.
I mean, Shannon, you're grown. It's okay. I'm just messing with you. Is it 56K modem? And then we got Weezy. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What are you driving, yo?
Yeah.
Good talk. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for joining us tonight, man. It's good to hear from you. Shannon, man, we missed you last week. Look, you know I love talking to you. I think we had a great conversation because we don't always agree. But we have a great rapport, great friendship. We missed you last week, but it felt good rapping about sports for about 2 hours.
I was about to say, I heard you didn't miss me all were law in the sports. I've been watching some games, though.
You watching the game tonight? You watching LeBron tonight?
No. I only watch it when my boyfriend has it on.
Well, that's good. That's good to be supportive. Is he a LeBron fan or is he like one of DC Bullets fans?
He's not really a fan. He just likes to watch the games.
Okay.
It's Washington Wizards. Now, did you say the Bullets?
Yes. Thank you for that information as always, Brandon. Good to have you. So, y'all rooting for the Wizards home team?
Always.
Brandon, you rooting for the Wizards?
No, I don't watch. I'm not watching the playoffs yet. I feel like I'll pick it up once the field gets cut down.
Okay, Brandon.
Second round or what?
It's still the first round. Still early. Well, the Sixers in the second round because we punished the Miami Heat. But that's a whole nother story. We'll get to that later. But Brandon,
NBA playoffs last forever. Do you really need 7 games?
Well, it separates. It's a good barometer of who's the better team and not just who gets hot at the moment. So you take college football. College football is basically one and done. So if you have a quarterback that's just on, or if you have a team that's just hitting in all cylinders, or they hit a couple lucky plays, then they can beat a team that's probably better than them. You know what
I mean?
It's just
win
a one-game
sample.
Right, but that doesn't
win or go home.
I understand that, Shannon, but again, that doesn't prove who's the better team. Because if you say you play all year to get a certain seed and then you win or go home, then what'd you play all year for?
It works in other sports.
No, it doesn't.
It also works
in college
basketball in the Olympics. Olympic basketball is one and done.
And Olympic basketball doesn't always tell you who's the best team.
Is it who's the best team or who showed up to be the best team at that game?
Well, what do you classify the champion as? Do you classify the champion as the best team of that season or just the team that got hot that season?
I don't think it would be who got hot. I think it would be who showed up and balled that day.
But, okay, so take the Eagles, for example, Super Bowl. Eagles are the Super Bowl champs. Were we considered the best team all season last year?
No.
No, probably New England was. But we hit a lick. So we're the champs.
Yeah, and you celebrate that.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're the champs. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, y'all showed up. And, it's, you know, not to say, like, oh, y'all just got hot or y'all got lucky. Like, y'all played. You know, it wasn't an easy game for you guys from what I heard because, you know, me and football. But, you know, any given Sunday, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but that's the question. Are championships won to prove who was the better team that day or who was the better team all season? Wow, they just tied it up with 30 seconds left. Indiana-Cleveland tied 95-95. But, hey,
what
man,
network is the game on?
It is on TNT. Who says network? Don't people say what channel? You can tell you that.
We're not in the same state. It could be a different channel.
I'm just giving you props on your education, that good old Towson University education, but I've never met anybody who said what network is on. I mean, who talks like that? You sound like Kanye on Twitter.
Don't let me in with Kanye.
So, okay, Shannon, now you texted me and said you wanted to talk about Kanye.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little disappointed. I'm a Kanye fan, you know. I miss when he's not putting out music. I've seen him in concert. But I don't really feel like I can continue to support him. I support him in the fact that I think he probably, you know, is having some emotional and mental issues. You know, his wife says he's not. But I just wanted to kind of do a pulse check and see what everybody else thought.
I mean, why do you think he's having mental issues? Can't he just be rich and like white people?
I don't know. And that one picture when he was with the record exec that Dame Dash was talking about and his Make America Great Again hat, he kind of looked like, you know, he had been kidnapped or hypnotized.
Oh, that's a record exec? I didn't even see that. I didn't
Yeah, Lior or something.
Oh, Lior Cohen?
Yeah.
Dame Dash don't like him?
No, I mean, I remember him putting out a video saying that he felt like he was, you know, making money by exploiting black culture.
That's what, I mean, that's what everybody did with rap. So
that's what everybody did
know,
with
man.
A lot of parts of black culture, yeah.
Right, I mean, it's been going on, I mean, you know, it's been going on for decades. So, I mean, he doesn't
make...
Well,
my question is, are you getting the new blue Yeezy flip-flops? And are you buying his album?
Okay, so let's start there. Okay, I'm glad we're having this conversation now, because I don't really care about his tweets. The Yeezys are fucking ugly. The Nike Yeezys are good, they're dope. But the new Yeezys, I understand they got the Boost technology, which is great. It's very comfortable. I mean, they also have, you know, like foam stuff now, like memory foam for your shoes. Great technology. The Yeezys are ugly. And I hate to be that guy because I'm not the most stylish person in the world. But I would never bought a pair of Yeezys. I've seen them on plenty of people's feet. And I'm not trying to be racist. I just don't know how else to describe it. They remind me of, like, the genie shoes, the Indian genie shoes, but with spaceships on the bottom. They're fucking horrible. So I don't know why he gets all these props for these Yeezys. But, again, I'm not the most stylish person in the world. I don't roll around talking about Yeezys is the greatest. I think the shoes are ugly. Now, the Nike ones that came out, I think they were good. I think they were dope. The Red October joints, you know.
Yeah.
I think those are tough. Oh, man. You just sent me the picture of those.
Yeah.
Those are terrible. But
it looks like a blue crop.
Yeah, I think all Yeezy shoes since the Nikes are terrible. I think his clothes are terrible. They look like, you know, bum clothes. Give me back LeBron blocked him at the last second. Wow. Yo,
yes, Todd.
I don't know how people don't enjoy sports. It's the most. It's better than any reality TV show. Anyway, Kanye's, because Oladipo shook him, but he recovered and blocked that shot. That might have been a go-time. I don't know if it hit the backboard first. But anyway.
So are you rooting for LeBron?
No, I just like seeing good games. I'm a Sixer fan. I'm hoping the Sixers win the shit. The Philly is the city of champs. But back to Kanye, right? So I think the Yeezys are terrible. I think his clothes are terrible. Okay, now I have to preface this, and I want to have this conversation. I think Kanye hasn't been a good rapper since his second album. Now, that's late registration. Those were the times when I was listening to Kanye, like, man, yo, he's really talking. Graduation, I think his raps were horrible, but I still consider it a classic album because it was a great album. My Twisted Dark Fantasy, I think it's a classic album. I think his raps were still terrible on there. Like, I don't listen to Yeezy for his lyrics anymore. I don't think Kanye is a good rapper. I don't think Kanye is a good rapper. I think he makes good music. I'll be interested to hear the new Pusha album, the new Nas album that he's producing. I've never been a fan of Cudi. He's like your rapper's rapper. I've never got into his music. My wife loves it. I think the shit's weird. But I'll be interested to hear the music. Wow! LeBron is a 3 at the buzzer! Wow! Wow. Jesus, what a shot. Cavs go 3-2. Game over. Anyway, so yo, Kanye's music isn't, like, I'll be interested to hear the new album, but made mostly for the musical part of it. Not because I want to hear anything he wants to say. Like, his most controversial line on the last one was, like, Taylor Swift still wants to have sex with me, or I still want to have sex with Taylor Swift. I'm like, why do you want to have sex with Taylor Swift? She's not attractive. And if you're in the position where you're looking at Taylor Swift like I'm trying to get that, then, man, you don't relate. It's just like we don't view women the same as attractive. And I'm not knocking them. I'm not knocking Taylor Swift. I'm sure she's a beautiful girl on the inside. But her rendition of September, man, I don't even want to have a conversation with her. but I get it.
I'm not a Taylor Swift fan on the inside or outside.
Well, I don't know her, but you don't know her, though. You don't know her. That's always what I try to separate. We don't know these people.
No, you don't. You can only judge by their actions and what they say, and so far I'm not impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what anything she says. I don't follow. I would have never even seen these Kanye tweets if you didn't say Kanye. And I looked, I was like, what does she want to talk about Kanye for? He's not in. And then I looked it up and I said, oh my God, this dude is wild. So let me ask you.
I mean, we can talk about a lot of stuff, but yeah, I mean, you didn't like Watch the Throne. You didn't like, you know, like Ham or when Kanye jumped on with, who was that? I don't know.
Most
I think Kanye's a good rapper. I think he takes a lot of risks sometimes, and, you know, sometimes he takes a L. But overall, I think he's a good rapper.
He's just trying to say outlandish stuff. That doesn't mean he's good, though.
Maybe
you know
now
I mean? Like,
he just tries to say outlandish stuff. But he used to, sometimes he says some stuff.
Like
Watch the Throne, I think,
mean?
You know, I can't think of anything he said that was just trying to be outlandish.
Because none of it's any good. None of it's, and I feel like I've had this argument with the wife a lot, you know, because like we listen, like when we drive out, you know, take these long trips, you know, we sit there and we talk about, you know, music and we listen to a lot of music and we'll put on Graduation and that, you know, it's such an amazing album from start to finish. But every time Kanye finishes a verse, I'll turn her and be like, see, that verse sucks. And she'll look at me and she'll be like, you just hate it. I'm like, no, I'm not, because I love the song. Like, I love Kanye's music. But when you're talking about good rappers, like even Watch the Throne, if you compare a Jay-Z verse versus a Kanye verse, at that moment, you'll say Jay-Z, hands down, better verse. Hands down. Now, Kanye, I'm not going to act like he's the worst rapper out there. I'm not going to act like he's like one of these mumble rappers. I'm only comparing him to what I used to hear from College Dropout from Late Registration.
So you don't think he's improving? You think he's declining?
Oh, I think he's declined. I mean, I think that when he came out, he was probably on a scale of 1 to 10, he was about a 6. I think he's down to about a 2 now.
Not
like
a 2.
Huh?
I said not a 2. That's just disrespectful.
Life of Pablo. Give me one good verse off of Life of Pablo. My point
I can't
exactly.
Tell you off of Life of Pablo. I don't think I listened to it.
My point, even more to my point. But hold on, we got another call on the line. You know what I mean? Let me make sure I get from. We got 240. What's going on? You on the off ramp?
What's up? It's Tremaine.
Tremaine, how you doing tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Can't complain. Long time no here. How's life?
It's good. It's good.
Good to hear. Good
to
hear. So what do you think about?
After Shannon was talking about networks, that cracked me up. So I was going to call.
The network.
When I
get into that
network,
instead of channel.
Well, Tremaine, let me ask you, what do you think about this whole Kanye situation?
So, I think Kanye's kind of lost his mind. I'm just not a fan. I will say, I don't think I've honestly listened to anything Kanye's put out since. What was that Heartbreak one? The 80s and Heartbreak?
Heartbreak.
Yeah. That was probably like the last one that I honestly paid close attention to. But I think if anything, it's just more like you just sit back to see what other stupid thing he's going to do and say for shock value. But like as far as music, it's not like I'm rushing out to go get whatever he's putting out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, like I always listen to his music. I just think musically he's great. But I just don't think he's that talented when it comes to rapping. I don't go for him for good lyrics. Like J. Cole's album came out Friday. I made sure I tried to listen to every single word he said and conceptualize the verse because I think he's that good of a rapper. Kanye, I don't try to do that. I just try to listen to it, and if it sounds all right, then it sounds all right. If it doesn't, then I skip it. So, but let me ask you this. Okay, so since we're talking about music, so Eminem came out a couple months ago, dropped a couple verses against Donald Trump at the BET Awards, the BET Cypher, had a lot of his album cursing out Donald Trump, and really didn't get any love for it. Like, no one really cared. No one really paid attention to it. And there was a couple of interviews where he was saying that he was shocked that no one really said anything and he didn't get a bigger push for his album to drop. Do we think Kanye West saw that and is just doing the opposite just to push his new album that's coming out next month?
I saw what Eminem did and applauded it, but I don't know, you know, what he wants us to do. Did he expect more people to kiss his ass over that? I don't know. But, no, I think Kanye just legitimately is not really in his right mind.
So you think he's just literally crazy?
I don't want to say crazy. I think, you know, he has some issues. And it's not the first time. Right, that he's had a breakdown, has had to been hospitalized, gets kind of erratic. You know, I think he's just kind of been in a downward spiral for some time now. He doesn't even look, you know, healthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. Should we even be surprised at Kanye's? Now, I'm going to say something, and I don't mean it to be offensive. I'm just observing like you are, and I don't wish this on Kanye. I'm trying to say that in front of it, like, you know what I mean? I don't wish anything. But as erratic as Kanye has been, if he committed suicide, would any of us be surprised?
No.
Which is scary. Number one, it is. And like I said before, he does things for shock value, but then even past that, I feel like ever since his mom passed away, it's been like a downward spiral for him.
Yep. And speaking of rappers and suicide, Lil Bow Wow said, like, yesterday on the internet that he didn't want to live anymore and he didn't want to be here and he was going to jump off of a balcony or something.
Did he really?
Well, he's short, so he doesn't have to go that high up.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
No.
I said I hope he doesn't do it.
Yeah, so
I'm just saying,
I don't know,
like,
but hopefully Kim gets her husband some help.
Who?
Kim Kardashian.
Oh. But see, okay, so let me ask you this, though. So we know that we don't understand the brain fully. We don't understand why we use our entire brain. The ratio has been between, you know, the average human being we use around 8.5% to 13.5%. depending on the human being. Most intellectual geniuses, people like Kanye, because I still, even though I think he's not a good rapper anymore, I still think he's a genius musically. Like, sonically, his music is entertaining, and he's not even a good rapper. Like, that's amazing. But
yeah, I mean, like, I'll say, when he came out with Through the Wire, I wasn't a fan, but before that, like, Purple Haze, like, what he did with that album, I loved. He's talented. He's artistic.
But now, should we be shocked that he's a person who doesn't think like the rest of us think, who we all consider more stable? Because most people, Vincent Van Gogh chopped off his ear. You know, like, all these people who we consider geniuses, like Elon Musk is trying to, like, walk to Mars. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all these geniuses, we look at them, and we can all sit there and say, yeah, they're a little bit off. Like, should we really be, like, why are people upset that Kanye's off, I guess is my question.
Upset that he's off. I'm concerned about him. I think part of the problem is, you know, with his platform, you know, if what he's saying is what he really believes, that's one thing, right? But if what he's saying is because he's kind of sick, you know, he has a platform to a community that can be really problematic and damaging. And that's the issue to me. Right?
Should we put...
Because think about it. He went from George Bush doesn't care about black people to cozying up with Trump, who George Bush doesn't even like. So, if that's what he really thinks, then okay, you know, go over there with Stacey Dash. But if he's just saying it because, you know, he's having some issues or he wants publicity, that's problematic to a community who's having a lot of issues and challenges right now.
I tell you, the funniest thing is Donald Jr. tweeted that it takes some balls to say what Kanye said, but he didn't use the word balls. He put, like, basketballs, two basketballs. And the first thing I thought was, like, why didn't he use baseballs or, like, golf balls? Why did he use the black man in basketball?
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, man. And you made me find this stuff because I was like, what is Kanye doing? But I mean,
How can you miss it? Because
I don't care about celebrities. Like, that's the whole thing. I can care less what celebrities think and how they feel. Is all, like, the only thing that gives me a little pause is, like, the R. Kelly situation because he's affecting kids. Like, that makes me a little, like, I don't want to listen to his music because he's, like, fucking up little girls' lives.
At some point, it's going to bother you more because you have a son and he's going to idolize and be affected, you know, through his peers and things like that by what some of these people say and do.
He better not. I'll whoop his ass. He better not be idolizing people he don't know who don't put food
on
their plate.
It's not a celebrity situation, but what did you think about the whole Starbucks thing? And that was in Philly.
That's where I wanted to go to next is the Starbucks thing, and I want to welcome him out. What's going on, there, good brother?
What's going on, family?
Not much. And I wanted to talk about Starbucks because I was trying to understand why people were so upset. Now I get the grand optics of it. You know, two black kids sitting in a Starbucks, being harassed by white people, having cops come in, they put handcuffs on them and they arrest them, and they were there for a business meeting and weren't bothering nothing, weren't doing anything. That's horrible. I don't understand how we jumped to boycotting Starbucks because, and again, I didn't really do research on this, but I'm assuming that Starbucks is a franchise and not like these people who racially profile these kids, like they're not products of the Starbucks system. They're people who make coffee and handle cashiers who got hired from, like, that job in that area. Like, these aren't, like, highly – okay, this is going to sound ignorant, but these aren't, like, highly intelligent, educated human beings. Like, they're there to make coffee and ring up my drink. I don't expect them to be extremely cultured. So, like, when stuff like this happens, depending on where it happens in the world, I don't say – Starbucks is at fault. I say whoever hired these people in this area, it's probably their fault, but I don't know how you can tell someone's racist by an interview. But then you don't know if they've had a problem with, like, I don't know, like, if you're telling me this happened in Philly, I mean, I see bums sitting in stores all the time. Sometimes you don't want bums in your store because it affects customers coming in. You don't want to walk in a store with a bunch of bums. These kids weren't bums. But I don't know if they've had a problem with loitering. The only time a cop has ever said something to me about loitering is in the middle of a major city at night. You know what I mean? They don't have problems with loitering in the country because ain't nobody fucking out there. So the Starbucks to answer your question, what did I think about the Starbucks situation? I felt bad for them kids. I hope they get a couple $1 million. But I don't see the reason to blame Starbucks as a company because it's not like Starbucks.
Quick question. Can I cut in?
You already did.
If that was you and they offered you free coffee for life, would you take it?
what is this, a Seinfeld episode? Hell no, I want to see that fatty.
You wouldn't take free Starbucks coffee for life if they just wanted that to go away. Because you're not getting $1 million.
Hell no. Hell no. Give me, you know what I take every day? Give me $3 or whatever it costs for a large coffee. Deposit that in my account every single day. And I'll never bother you. I won't. So, and I'll put that money and I'll just use compounding interest and I'll give that right to my son every single day. You give me $5 every single day for the rest of my life. I'm good.
Coffees at Starbucks are like $15 now.
That's awful. But Shannon, what do you think about Starbucks?
I want to hear what everybody else has to say first. And then I have a question for you. I want to know, when do you feel like a boycott is appropriate?
Okay. Well, let me let everybody chime in. Marilyn, what do you think about
Great
the Starbucks
question.
Situation?
I don't really know. I mean, to me, I just think that it's the everyday life of an African-American male. And it's a shame that a Starbucks as a franchise and we as also, I would think, professional black people can just sit and make it seem like this is commonplace when it's not commonplace for everybody. It's get to a point where, like, why is this happening in 2018? Right? Why is it that there's no story about a white or any other ethnic group person getting treated like in stores like this? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying that it's a Starbucks as a corporation issue, but at the same time, you got to look at it from a corporate-wide policy on whatever that is, right? And I think that it's just never okay. And I don't know if they engaged it because I don't know the whole story, if they actually engaged these people before the police were called. I would hope that it was some kind of conversation that had to happen before you just all of a sudden resort to calling the police when someone's just sitting down. I mean, you know, and this whole I don't want to be approached because I don't want to approach people, you know, kind of goes out the window for me too. So I just think that conversations should happen before police are involved. I don't even know why the police came and didn't try to arrest these people when they weren't doing anything, which is another issue all within itself, because I think no boycotts would have happened had they not been arrested. So that's just causing the question that what the hell is a cop doing arresting people if the legit concern was we were just sitting here for a business meet? Like, why are you doing paperwork for that? Like, so, and even if they made a big ass scene, which they should have made a big scene because they were legitimately not doing anything, I still don't think that the cops or they were deserving of being arrested when, again, you see crazy ass white people cursing cops out, hitting them and all that kind of shit, and they never get arrested, shot, or killed. So I just think that it's a disparity between the way people are getting treated of color, and I think that is a holistic issue that something needs to be addressed, whether it's not representative of a whole company or maybe all the stores that they have. But at the same time, I think that the way they handled it by shutting down and doing the whole policy so it doesn't happen again, because at the end of the day, they try and make money too. I think they handled it well, but it's just crazy that in 2018, we're still having this kind of shit going on, like we back in the 60s or something.
Yeah, it's rough.
So,
Tremaine, what you think about
Starbucks? Have anything to do with it? Sorry,
Hold on, B. I get back to you. I want to get Tremaine back in.
Please,
Tremaine, what you think about Starbucks?
So, I'm a tad disappointed. I think, one, not only just for this situation, but I think especially because after this kind of went viral and everyone started seeing what happened, then other people are posting videos from similar situations. People maybe didn't get arrested, but with people going in and asking for the bathroom and an African-American person or whatever asking, they're told no, and then a white person would come in and it's like, oh, here's the code, enjoy. It's just kind of like really disappointing and discouraging. And to think, you know, kind of like Marilyn said, it's 2018 And this is just really still the world that we're living in. And I think now with social media and things that are just accessible for us to see what's going on, it just kind of makes you more aware to things that I think a lot of us just didn't want to believe was really still happening, you know. And I hit Shannon up last week, and I was like, well, damn, I guess I can't have Starbucks. I was like, what's going to be next week? We'll have nothing at this point. So I haven't gone to Starbucks because I'm still taking my stance. And I will say it does suck, and I clearly, I'm one person. It's not going to be the end of the world for them, but it's just like I feel like I need to kind of take a step back just to feel like I've kind of done my part, you know, because it is just like really frustrating. And, you know, you said it's not the workers and people who are there don't kind of reflect the whole company, but in a sense, you know, you never know exactly who you're hiring, but sometimes they really could be like, someone hired this guy. I'm sure there have been other things that have come up or happened, and maybe they didn't escalate to this point. But, you know, I'm sure this is not the first case. So it's kind of, you know, again, how many other things like this are happening that we're not seeing and hearing about? That it's just like, you know what, I'm going to just take a step back. You know, I'm not saying I'm never going to go back to Starbucks, but for now, they're kind of X'd out right now. And, you know, I do think that they're going to try and do this whole corporate training and that they sent it out and did this apology. But, you know, it's just really unfortunate.
I, first of all, I backslid. I went to Starbucks today and completely forgot that I was boycotting. Tremaine, you didn't say anything to me.
I know. I saw it. I was like, I'm not even going to comment. Because the other day when you told me, I was like, Starbucks? You were like, no, I mean Panera. I was like, oh, okay. And then when you said Starbucks today, I was like, oh, I guess she's back.
It had a drive-thru and it was raining, and I forgot. I backslid. But no, you know, and my mom made a really good point about you don't see videos of this happening to white people. And I was just going to point out that the guy who shot the four people at Waffle House, the day before, he was at a grocery store across the street from Waffle House, walking around harassing customers of color, you know, calling them derogatory names, yelling, being really erratic. And the people had to leave because the staff would not call the police on him.
Well, they
meanwhile, you have other people of color who sit places, you know, and don't do anything, and they get the police called on them. And, yeah, I think an employee is absolutely representative of the company that they work for. You know, that's what an employee is. That's how a corporation,
right,
especially a large one like Starbucks, whether it's a franchise or not, operates. And, you know, I think the bottom line is if we have economic buying power, you can use it to your advantage in a lot of situations. That's why I was just going to ask then, when do you think it's okay to boycott? I mean, because other groups and organizations and demographics do it all the time and effectively and well, and it works for them.
Well, I think boycotting is tough because I think you have to have a clear understanding of why you're boycotting and what you're boycotting for. I don't see the reason to boycott Starbucks because we're acting like that company is racist when, you know, they've hired multiple black people. You know, every Starbucks I go into, when I get Starbucks, the door ain't locked. I've sat in Starbucks and fell asleep. Ain't nobody bother me. And I got cornrows beard, and I'm big and black. So
I was about to say, you're big. They're scared of you.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess, but that's my, that could be true, too. But, I mean, so to act like, I guess my point is, I would understand boycotting. Like, I understand why people boycott the NFL. I don't agree with it, but I understand it because the NFL as a corporation has shown a blatant disrespect to black people and their concerns and their rights. So I understand it, even though I don't agree with it, and that's a whole different subject. But I can see why black people would say, all right, NFL, I'm done with you. I can't see how black
Starbucks
people would say.
Starbucks has since changed their policy. You don't think that that was effective?
Now, has it changed the policy for that store? Is it nationwide? Because what policy was changed? Because
it's all the stores
always,
now.
But what policy was changed? Because you could always sit
so
in
now,
Starbucks.
So now, you know, you're welcome to sit there without a purchase, to charge your phone without a purchase, and to use the restroom, even homeless people.
So are you saying that before, if you sat there without a purchase, they could ask you to leave?
That, yeah, I mean, a lot of companies reserve that right and have a policy that they don't.
But I'm asking for Starbucks specifically, because if Starbucks, if they specifically say, hey, people aren't allowed in here if they're not buying, and these kids didn't buy nothing, then they had every right to tell them to leave.
Well, the issue wasn't that they – that was their policy. The issue was that they only chose to implement that policy against those black young men.
And this is my problem. Now, is this just that particular store, or is this Starbucks as an entire company? Because I've been to Starbucks plenty of time. I haven't bought anything. And I don't even – because I'm not a big fan of coffee. My wife is.
Exactly. So why did they choose only those customers that day and not anybody else to implement that policy? If that's your policy and you want to implement it, cool, but do it for everybody.
But again, but you're still not answering my question, though. Are we talking about that Starbucks at that location at that time? Are we talking about Starbucks as an entire corporation? Because you're telling me that Starbucks is an entire corporation says, hey, when black people come in here and don't buy nothing, kick them out. Let's boycott. They'll never get my money. I'll never see them a day. If you're telling me that one racist manager and one Starbucks in Pennsylvania saw some black kids not buying something and decided to profile them, then I'm not blaming the entire company for it.
Okay, well, the entire company has taken responsibility for it like they should.
So then why boycott? If they done exactly, and it didn't take them nothing but a day. Like, the CEO came out
because
and was like, yo, this is unacceptable.
They were worried about the effects of the boycott and the bad publicity that the situation gave them.
But why are you accusing them of that? Why can't the CEO just be like, yo, this ain't right? He's from Seattle. He's definitely liberal. He smokes nothing but weed. There's nothing but weed in Seattle. He might have looked at this situation like, hey, I date black women. I can't believe they did this at one of my stores on the East Coast. The East Coast, they're supposed to be liberal like us here in the Northern West. This is dumb. We're not going to stand for this. We're going to make sure this doesn't happen again. Why does it always be about profits? How do you know that that man just didn't look at that situation and say, this was wrong, I'm going to make sure none of my stores are ever put in this position again. Let's fix it. And when he jumped out there,
it could have been both, but let's be honest, everything's about profits.
Not everything. You don't know it's about profits until you hear someone say it's profits. Now, we can assume it. Like the NFL, I don't think all owners are racist. I think it's about money. I think they want
some of the owners are absolutely racist. And, you know, the players can't tell you that, but they're absolutely racist.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the sessions that they have with players and staff, they're absolutely racist.
I mean, I assume anyone white over 60 is racist until they show me they're not. I mean, they just grew up in a different time. I mean, my grandpa.
I feel like
was
that's
racist.
A broad assumption.
God,
I disagree with that. For the record.
Oh, I just go into it. Anybody who's white over 60, I just assume is racist because they grew up in a racist society. They literally grew up where black people couldn't drink out the same water fountains. Now, when I meet people our age that's racist, it surprises me. So I'm like, you've been around to know that you've been around, you should have been around people to know that ignorance, you know, dumb acting doesn't have a color attached to it. It's just people. There's no perfect color. Everybody's an idiot in some form. But when you're over 60 and you didn't even go to school with black people, I'm surprised that you're not racist. Like, my old boss, she's over 60. She's ready to retire. I love her. She's great. I was surprised. And she's a white lady from Jew in New York, a Jewish lady from New York. I'm surprised at how much love she shows me. I think she's wonderful. You know, the day that she dies, I'm going to shed a tear. But, like, when I first met her, I didn't know her. I thought, you know, old white lady, she probably won't like me because I'm big and black. I was proven wrong. But I went into it like, all right, well, I'm going to just – you know, play defense, play the corporate role. And then when I got to know her, I was like, hey, older white lady, not
here's
racist.
Here's the thing, though, God. That, and it kind of goes to the overall point of race, right? Why do we got to play a corporate role? Like,
you gotta speak
we've
up,
been
yo.
Resilient.
You,
I said, why do you feel like, see, the whole thing about privilege, right, is that, and this is, and you just basically said it, right, is that if we had anybody on here that was non-black, they don't say, I had to play a corporate role, right? But we always got to feel like we have to play some kind of role to fit in society, the society that, one, we helped build, the one that we sustained and survived in for I don't know how many years, and yet we still feel like in 2018 we got to play some kind of role, right? Or we feel like we got to do something a certain way to fit in, when honestly, like, we should just be going about our business like we the king motherfuckers that survived this shit, because you people that you're over 60 have had everything given to you and had to have nothing to do but to just sit back and let shit come to you. Yet the dominant species in this scenario, who's fought for everything they had, who survived everything that they tried to throw and take away from them, still today walk around as if we have to somehow fit into the society. Like, why is that? Why is it that the race that has been dead, that went through the most and still survived and still can say that we're successful, and we all can sit here today and say we're successful and we made it, but yet we still got feel like we got to fit into something or play a game?
Oh, I mean, that's a whole different argument, and I agree with everything you said there. I mean, I'm not. I'm just saying, well, that's just a different discussion. Arguing is the wrong word. That's just a different discussion than what I'm thinking on as compared to Starbucks. I agree with everything you said. I mean, the fact that, you know, when I get my hair braided, you know, black people come around and they say, oh, your hair looks nice. I like it braided up like that. And I say, cool. And white people come into my office and say, that's interesting. Has no one ever said anything to you about your hair? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, so I understand that completely. That's different than me saying, why boycott an entire company because one franchisee made a mistake?
Because
you know what I'm saying?
The dude was sitting in Seattle looking at his bank account, like, and stocks, and like, shit, if my shit go down, I'm going to have a problem. I need to come out strong and come out real swift like he did to make sure that this shit is not going to be spread like wildfire. Because just like Shannon pointed out, as soon as this one video hit and went viral, more videos start to come, right? And then the boycotts happen. And the only way that you can stop that, prevent that, is get ahead of it. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why I said I applaud him on his swift action. But at the same time, I think that, you know, without a boycott is only but so much, right? If you ain't willing to sacrifice anything, a boycott doesn't mean anything, right? And let's be honest. I mean, there's so many alternatives to coffee, so many other places besides Starbucks. Now, I know people are somewhat addicted to Starbucks or that brand. But if you look at, like, the bus boycott, the most effective boycott ever that we've ever done, or the sit-ins or whatever, right? Like, people, like, means of transportation back then were, like, slim to none, right? So if you didn't have it wasn't like you had a car that, like we have today. So, like, not forgiving, like, just like that's equivalent to you just saying, fuck it, I'm not going to use my car, and I'm gonna find other ways to get around my car. That's so inconvenient. That's sacrifice, right? So when we talk about boycotts, we also gotta look at the sacrifice that somebody's willing to give. And if you ain't willing to give, in our generation, we ain't willing to sacrifice shit. So boycotts don't mean nothing to us, really, because at the end of the day, you're still drinking coffee. Like, the sacrifice is that you're saying, listen, I'm gonna affect the whole coffee industry, right? Not just Starbucks, the whole coffee industry. I'm tired of this shit, right? And nobody's willing to do that. That's real sacrifice. That's boycotting something. Because without boycott and effectiveness, you got to sacrifice something. People give lives. Like, that's the difference between our parents' generation and our generation. It's like people actually gave lives, and they actually gave up, like, something where it made it inconveniencing for them, but they thought that it was good enough for them to kind of sustain that. And we're not willing to do that, because at the end of the day, you don't go to Starbucks, but you're going to Dunkin' Donuts. You're going to 7-Eleven, or you're going to just go make your own damn coffee, right? Because coffee is still readily available.
But see, where I disagree with you is, and I'm going to get to Shannon, I want you to jump in, because me and my own are going back and forth, so I'll make sure you're included in this. But where I disagree with it is back in the bus, when we're talking about back then with the bus boycotts, all the buses of the city or the county were treating black people terribly. Like, they had rules that said black people can't sit in the front of the bus. Starbucks doesn't have any rules that say black people can't sit in here and drink coffee. This was, if we're talking about franchises of multi-billion dollar companies, I'm basically saying, hey, your company in Seattle is great. Let me pay $50,000. You know, help me open up Starbucks on this side. You show me the ropes on how to run it, but I hire my own people. I manage it the way I want to manage it, and I pay you a certain amount of fee for every sale I make as a franchise fee, but you're still back in Seattle just collecting the franchise fee. You're not, you as the Starbucks CEO aren't managing my Starbucks in Philadelphia. Me as a Philadelphian native who owns a Starbucks is managing that. So I just don't, I just haven't got to the point where I understood the concept of boycotting Starbucks for one franchisee's mistake. When seen as a
first
worldwide
of all,
problem.
Starbucks doesn't franchise, they license. And even if it is a franchise, you still
licensed?
Just don't do whatever you want willy-nilly, you know, with your store location. But, you know, I think
when it comes
that,
to hiring people, you do.
Yeah, for hiring people, yeah, you do.
But
what I'm saying
about.
Is this
we're
is a policy that's not unique to Starbucks. It's, you know, most restaurants and fast food places and stuff like that reserve the right, you know, and say if you're not buying anything, you know, you have to leave. I don't care about that. All I care about is if that's your policy, cool, but why do you only choose to implement it against these black young men? And I think the only way to really, really be effective, like Marwan said, is sacrifice, and that includes a boycott. When you get down into, oh, well, you know, it was the store manager, you know, who did it and things like mm-hmm. that, like I think you lose sight of, you know, being effective and demonstrating mm-hmm. that your community or your demographic has economic significance and power. And that's
right.
part
well,
of why we aren't able to really boycott effectively, you know, as a group.
Well, I have a rebuttal for that. But my man Vance got on the line. My bad, Vance. I didn't even see you holding on. We've been having a good discussion, me, Shannon, and Marwan, and Tremaine, and Brandon, and going back and forth. Vance, welcome to the offering, my brother.
Hey, what's good, man? How you doing today?
Good, my brother. Can't complain. What you got, man? What you want to drop, man?
Man, so I got picked up on the middle of the conversation relative to Starbucks, and I mean, I definitely understand what Marwan's saying, but to be honest with you, you know, as a community, we're very reactive. You know, we come together when, and not every, and not every situation, but you know, we hear about a Starbucks, we want to boycott. Now, here's my thing about it, and this is where I agree with you, you know, big homie, because here's my thing. People forget that humanity comes before policy of any company. And the one thing, you know, we can't change as a black people is how people are going to treat us and how they've been raised. So the one thing about it is, you know, everybody's a human and everybody has a right to make a decision based on their perception, based on their beliefs, based on their raising and things like that. And that's where I agree with you. It's not a That's not Starbucks company culture. However, all it takes is one bad apple, and it can mess up and ruin the entire brand of a company. I'm a business owner myself. If I do something that's racist against somebody that's not of my culture, of my ethnicity, I'm going to hear about it, and I'm going to probably be demonized because I'm a black business owner. However, you know, it happens, and I think we try to – and this is not to, you know, be on Starbucks side or anything, but it's the reality now that we're dealing with, especially younger folks. I mean, I know older folks, like you said, you know, it's sad to say, but, you know, growing up in different places that have been, you know, of urban culture and in white only, it's a lot of folks that have been raised by folks that two generations ago were slave owners. And, you know, you come down and that's what they're taught. But of the younger folks, you don't really have a lot of folks that are exposed to what racism was, what happened in the Jim Crow era, what happened prior to that. You go to school systems, public, they don't teach you. They don't teach you that. you learn about Columbus. You don't learn about slavery like that. And a lot of people don't understand. And it's a prime example. I was at a museum in Detroit, and they had a exhibition of, you know, Ku Klux Klan, slavery. And it was deep. It was super deep. It was, and a kid asked, the kid had to be no more than 3, 4, 5 years old. He asked, "Dad, what's that?" And the father said, "That's some really bad stuff." Now, to me, it's more than just bad stuff. It's history. But a lot of people don't teach their young folks that. So these episodes like Starbucks, where you don't either, you haven't been taught or you're not exposed to some natural things, come about. And as a result, you get these situations where people see, what do you see on the news? I turn on the news every day. I live in Baltimore City. What I see? Another black person arrested, this and that. Black people did bad between D.C. and Baltimore, Philly, New York, Chicago, Detroit, L.A. Black people done bad. You know, Waffle House shooters taking over the big thing right now, but black people being demonized everywhere you see on media, social media and everything.
The Waffle House shooter, they originally tried to give him a bond too, by the way.
Can I jump in about this Waffle House shooter? And I don't,
go ahead.
Y'all know my personality, and I don't mean no disrespect to homie who wrestled the gun, yo. But yo, how do you get away, yo? If you grab the gun from homie, yo, why you ain't whoop his ass, yo? How you get away from me, yo?
You know, the funny thing about that, you know, I said the same thing, right? But I talked about, and I have a mixed crowd at work, you know, where I work at. And it's always some folks that are about 10 years older than all of us probably on this phone that talk about that. And the one black lady said the reason that he couldn't have done it because he would have been the violent person then. He would have been personally killed by the cops.
That's an excellent point.
And I thought about that. I said, damn, you know, myself, all the homies that would have done that. I mean, I know what you're saying. But think about it. You show up with an AR-15. You show up with an AR-15 in your hand and a white dude dead. You might go down.
Gun. Nobody's approaching you, talking about to put the weapon down. You getting tased or shot on sight.
Yep.
Nah, B. Look,
you might get some bullets.
Look.
Nobody's trying to fight you.
Look, I understand. Oh yeah, I'm on the table. We had a good conversation with one of our brothers. I ain't gonna say his name. He's a cop from Baltimore. He told me to my face. He said, "Gun, I know you. You gonna get everything in this chamber. I ain't fighting a guy like you." And he's a Baltimore cop. He said, "I'm gonna get." Well, he used to be Baltimore. He ain't Baltimore anymore. But look, you can't tell me that this dude comes in the Waffle House, shoots up the Waffle House. This guy, the gun jams. He grabs the gun. Yo, if he starts beating his ass, the cops show up. Of course, they're probably going to rush him or whatever. But once the cops figure out that this AR-15 shot a bunch of people and your hands, you know what I mean? Like, that ain't your gun. That's homie's registered gun. You might be in jail for a couple minutes while they figure everything out. But
You're expecting the cops to analyze that. Hold on, Mal.
We were all talking at the same time. Let Shannon get in there. Let her get her clear statement. I'll go to you next, Mal. Go ahead, Shannon.
They're shooting men and their black men in their backyards because they have a cell phone in their hand. They're not going to take time to try to figure out, okay, raise your hand if this is your AR-15.
Go ahead, Mawa.
Yeah, and I don't even know the whole story about this, the whole Starbucks shit. I don't know where I've been. But all I'm saying is that you're expecting a cop, right, to go in there and analyze that situation at that very second in the whole heat of the minute. Like the whole heat of the moment, like come on, you know, they couldn't even do that when they shot the boy with the toy gun playing, and they pulled up and pulled up. I mean, they're going to react first, and then they're going to try to figure it out. So something may happen before, especially a big dude like you. You may catch a couple of legs before they figure out who gun it is. So like I'm just saying, like it's absolutely no way that you're giving them way too much credit. They're giving them way too much credit. You're giving them way too much credit.
It's gonna be more than a couple. They're gonna flipping them, and then try to figure out whose gun it was.
Then they go like, my bad.
See, Gunn, and I feel you on that. I'm in the same boat as you. My first reaction is to try to stop it. But the thing about Homie, that he was honest. He said he didn't want to be called a hero because he didn't do it for everybody else. He did it to save himself. And I mean, I get it. And his reaction, I mean, you know, at that time, he's probably just as scared as brave as, you know, he was. But, you know, you show up, even you know, even them saying white guy, AR-15, came in and shot people. But they show up, and you see a black dude, big black dude with an AR-15. Now, it's different. I'll say it's scenario-based. If you've already laid out your chamber on my man and he's done, you're not going to have the gun in your hand, and just being smart. But if you know, timing is wrong, and today's, you know, how it is out here, dog, it could be tragic for us. You know, even if you don't have the gun in your hand. Let's say you're
it also depends on how the
let's
car
say you're holding.
In.
And let's say you're holding my man down. You know,
hey,
all it takes is a wrong.
Hey, Vance, hold on. Let me get somebody to jump in. Tremaine, what you think?
No, I think, like Shannon said before, as far as if you're thinking there's going to ever be time to stop and explain what the situation is, it's just not happening. Again, it goes back to, we're all seeing all these reports, everything on social media. What's happening is that people, unfortunately, are getting shot, arrested, all these other things, and they're not asking the questions. And then by the time they're getting the story, it's unfortunately too late then. So,
they're going to put you on the news with your cornrows and say you were a thug.
Whatever. What
I just think
I Brandon, you still out there? You sleep.
I just
think
that is how the call came in. It depends on how the call came in too, right? Like if the call came in, and I would hope that the call would come in right, where it would say that a white man came in with an AR-15, shot up the place, and then the cop got that call and then didn't assume that it was the black guy with the gun, right? And I mean, but you always told that, you know, you go back to the tapes and figure out how that call came in, and you know, most times, even with the Walmart situation where, you know, the call came in, it was just like, oh, somebody's with a gun, not really knowing or getting a full description of what the real scenario was, right? So I think that's also, it's a lot of variables that could have happened in any situation. So, I mean,
look,
it's unfortunate.
I mean, I understand what y'all are saying. But I think y'all are bugging you. And the only reason, again, I wasn't there. I've heard him describe the situation, and it's an unfortunate situation. And I'm not knocking him for anything he did. I mean, it's kind of a light joke. But I'm just saying, a guy comes in, starts shooting. I get his gun jammed. I grab the gun away from him. Once I grab the gun away from him and I look him dead in his eyes and I realize that he doesn't have a gun, I'm going to try to kill him with my bare hands because he just came in the room and started shooting up shit. And I almost died. Now, also, I'm thinking this because I got a kid, and I'm probably the first thing I'm going to think about is Julius, and I could have died and lost him. And I'm going to have an area hood dude know when you get them angry tears rolling down your eyes. Like, the only thing that's going to stop you from hurting somebody is somebody else pulling you off. And if he's in
well,
there,
meanwhile,
shooting,
the
screaming.
Waffle House shooter, they tried to give him a $2 million bond. And all this time, celebrities, the owners of the Sixers, and everybody else have been trying to get Meek out of jail, and he's finally free.
Free Meek, baby!
I'm
why
just
is everybody
waiting
so
for
happy
Drake to congratulate him.
And he already said
hey,
free Meek. Go ahead, Vance.
Nah, I said, I don't mean it to get off topic. I know we're talking about something serious, but did you already
the
talk about my Wizards?
That's what we do.
I mean, did y'all already talk about my Wizards, or can I just table that for now? We'll take that offline.
Are they still in the? Are the Bullets still in the playoffs?
We
that's
lost tonight.
That's especially coming
you know,
from a Philly fan.
We lost tonight. Game six is at home on Friday. But you know,
one little championship and you talk shit.
Well, you talking about that Eagles fan over there, man? I'm about to hang up the phone. Ain't that a bitch?
Fly Eagles, fly. Y'all, like I can't. I'm gonna put that audio clip in here one day. And I would definitely play that, man. But yeah, man, I mean, go ahead. I mean, the Wizards look good. John Wall finally back to being healthy. Beal got hurt last game. I didn't see the game today because I can't believe they have playoff games on NBA TV and not regular TV. I don't know why the NBA does that, but if the NCAA can put 12 games on regular TV, why can't the NBA put all the playoff games on regular TV?
I don't know. Maybe you should boycott. Look, I'm not about just boycotting anything.
You're going to have to give me a reason. You're going to have to tell me, Shannon, all about boycotting. I am. I get it.
So I missed it. Why would you want to boycott Starbucks?
Shannon, go ahead, because I'm not boycotting Starbucks. I don't even fuck with Starbucks.
It was just, you know, the situation in Philly where a manager at a Starbucks called the police on some young men for sitting there, some young black men for sitting there.
So because of that, I mean, and I missed this, and excuse me for this. I know we talked about it already, but and I missed the part why, based on one person's actions.
Yeah, you should have showed up on time.
I know, yo. You know, I was, you know. Hey, man.
Yeah, not to rehash the whole thing, but it's a policy that Starbucks, most restaurants, fast food places have, but they chose to only implement it against these two black guys and nobody else. You know, and if I don't know if you've seen the video, but if you look at the video, even the white people in the video were saying, you know, they didn't do anything. We don't understand why this is happening. Why are they being arrested? You know.
Because they were casing a joint.
I get it from the perspective of that experience. But, you know, overall.
So, Vance, I made a statement earlier saying that we can't do anything to change people from treating us like animals. And I disagree. I think if you affect people's bottom line, they'll treat you however makes the money flow back into their company.
But what is that? Because to me, I mean, I definitely agree with that. But to me, the person who was responsible for that action, it's their action.
Yeah, it is. But like up until now, like Tremaine said, it's 2018. This is still going on. What do you do to hold that single person accountable? How do you get the organization to hold that single person accountable? Do you complain, you know, file a complaint, you know, with the company, things like that? It's not effective. You have to move to what's effective. And, you know.
But the person got fired.
Yeah, the first
why did the person get fired? You think if the video didn't go around, there wasn't this much outrage, people weren't threatening to boycott it, you know, the person would have got fired. And honestly, you know, I think the person resigned, and then the other person got moved to a different store, but not fired.
No, I didn't see that. I saw the person who called the cops got fired. So you're right, they resigned, but they were going to get let go. So they had the choice that they either was going to get fired or they was going to get let go.
Yeah, but, you know. So now, you know, those two young men are in the system, had to get processed, you know, things like that because of this. So I think you have to do what's effective and what gets results. And, you know, dropping a complaint in the little cup or getting the area manager's number or sending the email to complain is not it. Otherwise, in 2018, we wouldn't still be having these issues. Like the black woman who got kicked off the golf course, you know, because they were accused of golfing too slow.
Yeah, they might have been. You got to get your round in.
Yeah, and Vance, just like I was saying, the guy who shot up the Waffle House, the white guy who also got bond and also got away free because white shooters only die when they shoot themselves, otherwise they get arrested, was the day before in a public store harassing black customers, you know, with racial derogatory terms, yelling, acting erratically and crazy. They would not call the police on them, so the black customers had to leave because, you know, the staff would not call the police on him or ask him to leave.
Hey,
meanwhile,
hold
if you're black,
man,
you just sit down and you get asked to leave. So that's it. In short, because boycott because it's effective.
Damn it, Shannon, hold on.
What?
Maurice, you on the off ramp. What's going on, bro?
What's going on, fam? How y'all feeling?
I can't complain. You got to speak up a little bit, man. It's tough to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you good, bro. You good, bro. You chiming in on the Starbucks topic, man. Shannon letting folks have it, man. She's saying we should boycott our caramel macchiatos.
Yeah, them things are delicious, actually. But they are full of, you know, stuff that's not good for us. So I wouldn't boycott on the fact, you know, it's just a white corporation doing what they do best and discriminating against us. That's like a known fact. I would boycott on the fact of their product is, you know, not good for us. But on the flip end of that, I'm not boycotting Starbucks, one, because I got about 10 pounds of coffee grounds from Starbucks today. So listen to me. I'm about to flip this.
Would you steal it?
Nah, they throw it away. They throw it away. So I'm going to flip this a little bit because rather than boycott,
Hold on, Maurice.
Oh, wait, did you get it out there trash or you just asked them
hold
for
on,
it?
Shannon, hold on, Shannon. We go,
so
hold
you,
on, we
use
go,
coffee
go,
grounds. Use
hold on,
coffee
Maurice.
Grounds.
Maurice, hold
yeah.
on. We're going to take this one. We're going to take this one step at a time so it is clear to everyone what the hell you talking about. You just said you got 10 pounds of coffee
yeah.
grounds from Starbucks. How?
10
slave?
Pounds.
How?
For free. So use coffee grounds, all right? So
used?
I'm going to tell you what I do with the used, like the stuff that they already filter through the water, they serve to the people, and they throw this away.
So you
they
trash
throw coffee grounds away. I get this delivered to me. See, I'm about to flip it real quick. Let me break this down.
All right.
So instead of boycotting, which you can do that, which I don't think we should support bullshit products, you know, that are not good for us anyway. Instead of boycotting, what I'd rather do is utilize the resources that these corporations bring in and turn their waste into a product that benefits our people. See what I'm saying? So what I use the coffee grounds for is to turn it into compost or to actual dirt. I'm using their ability to get coffee from Africa over here and use their waste to turn into a product that can make myself or a company or our people money or can grow food. So my mentality is just on like a different wave rather than just boycotting, because that's been tried and not really in a collective space has worked for our people. So it's best to rather utilize the resources that these corporations waste and figure out a way that we can make money from them. See what I'm saying?
I mean, I don't think that's a bad idea. I think compost is gross. But what about, you know, obtaining those resources ourselves? Like, you know, Starbucks
isn't
the only people who can ship coffee from Africa.
Right. Listen, this is the issue with that. In Baltimore City, we had a black-owned coffee shop called New Bohemian Coffee. You know, that's right down near the Meyerhof, or one of those really high, you know, traffic centers. It's going out of business on June 1st. It's because, one, we don't have the collective power to market to our people coffee. That's just not a product that we as a people buy. So as a black business, it's probably not in this time frame smart to set up a coffee shop. One, because you got Starbucks that's taking the market, but two, it's not a product that our people buy. So one, you can't market coffee to our people. So let them have that, in a sense.
Maybe it's just
let
a bad location, because there's a black-owned coffee shop and off of 29 and by like the Harris Theater.
Right. You're talking about Dovecote, right. Correct.
Yeah, and there's one in PG County. I just read that because of the boycott with Starbucks, you know, their profits jumped some ridiculous percent. You know, I think, you know, I know I in the past have been a Starbucks customer once or twice a day. You know, I think it depends on location and, like you said, how it's marketed. But, you know, to count out, you know, black buying power by saying, oh, we don't buy coffee or it's not a product for us, I think it's just wrong.
Well, see, I own my own company, which we sell tea. And our biggest supporters are not black people. That's because we're not the
I drink English breakfast tea every single day.
I understand that. Well, what I'm saying is we can't get into the concept of building businesses based off the intent of just having our own people support them. We need to get into industries in which everybody's going to buy from us, in a sense.
Right.
I'm in the industry. Coffee is just not one of them for us. So I get the point. But my point in saying that is that if Starbucks is pulling in so much of a valuable resource that we can't really get our hands on right now to take power on, we need to look at what these companies are wasting. That's my mentality on it. To take back the power from trying to organize people to boycott, to move it to utilizing a resource that they're currently in the power of getting over here to somehow benefit off from on the back end. So turning that, let's utilize their resource somehow to make some money off how they're making money.
But, hey, Maurice, how do you make money off of used coffee grounds with compost? Are you selling compost?
You can turn it in the dirt and you can sell the compost. There are companies in Baltimore that come and collect people's compost or trash and take it to Aberdeen into a, you know, their own little farm, and they sell compost for $35 a cubic yard.
Bam. I didn't know you can sell dirt. I know you can sell dirt weed, but you can't even sell dirt weed.
Yeah.
No more. I didn't know you can sell dirt.
Right. But see, that's why I interjected that thought into the compost, because that's my direct experience with Starbucks. And my mentality is going to, see, instead of boycotting, I'm saying, well, let me take something that they have that they're wasting and make some money off of it. And it's going to benefit.
Well, how does that hurt them?
It does not really hurt them, but what it does is it creates an economic base based off our lack of resources, that we don't have ships, we don't have the contracts to get certain products from Africa. But if we can benefit off the waste of these products, then let's do that, because it's here and it's been thrown in the trash anyway. You can do that with cardboard.
But,
you can utilize a lot of
it. But they throw it away anyways, though. So that has no impact to them.
The boycott the coffee. What impact is black people at Starbucks really going to have on their bottom line? And that's just being realistic.
Right.
As a business owner, it's not going to be anything that's going to change their bottom line.
No. Just from the threat of this publicity, they made significant changes to their policies and their stores.
Yeah, because
yeah,
I agree.
Hey, Maurice, hold on. Let Mama jump in. Go ahead, Mama.
So I agree that it's not going to affect their bottom line. That was kind of what my overall point was in terms of the sacrifice thing. It's like you boycott, and it has to be some significant sacrifice. Otherwise, the boycott, I don't think it's very effective. That's why I said that it's not necessarily about just Starbucks. It's like if we really wanted to make an impact, we will affect the whole coffee industry. Because at that point, what you're saying is that now everybody's affected. We're putting everybody on notice. So I agree, Maurice, in the fact that, yeah, if you look at the percentages of who drinks coffee and who goes to Starbucks, I'm pretty sure they have the numbers,
right? Mm-hmm. At least they can look at and say, okay, well, look, half of most of our population are non-black. So, yeah, they can protest. But unless if they get more people on board on this profit, our bottom line is probably not going to be the same. And to Gunn's point, yeah, it was one franchise. So the franchise over in California probably just booming, right? So we got to be a clear indication of how can we collectively boycott to make it mean something to somebody. But, and also I agree with Shannon, and the simple fact that is that the threat of that, though, and the impact, you got to understand, black people supporting or just putting something on it, like just saying I'm going to wear this or saying it's going to be in a rap song, affects your bottom line tremendously. Like there's no other group that can affect social change from a product than us, right?
I disagree with that.
Are you kidding me?
In terms of coffee, I disagree.
Hold on. Let me finish. When you're talking about coffee, I said I agree with you. I'm saying, though, if we as a black group decided today, right, and we put it on all the shit that we're on, decided that we were just going to only drink coffee, we will have white people only drinking coffee, dude. White people didn't used to wear holes in their jeans until we did it. You put something in a rap song, I'm not talking about the older white people in the South, 60-plus, that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the youth today. They follow the black entertainment's lead on everything.
Yep, Migos rap concert.
Come on. You take any artist and tell them that they're going to take Cardi B and she start talking about some tea. I guarantee you all her fans, you take Beyonce and tell Beyonce to just start advertising some tea. You don't think the Beehive is going to be trying to buy that tea?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that we don't use that influence. We don't use that influence effectively enough to affect anybody's bottom line, but we have that power to do so.
And I also just want to say I disagree with the idea that, you know, we don't have the infrastructure to import things. First of all, coffee is a commodity. If you want to buy it, you can buy it, right? And if you want to, you know, there's a lot of black people and a lot of Africans, not African Americans, Africans who are getting into the export import business. You know, I think if we want it done, it can be done. I think sometimes people just don't think about it.
I agree.
So, you know, I might agree with that, but in terms of the entertainment industry, let's get one thing straight. White folks are the biggest consumers of hip hop music. They're the buyers of it. So, I totally agree with you, but you got to understand that the influence that you think we have, the entertainers out there creating that music for those people. For those people that are buying that music, it's not
some
like
of them.
You know you start. Well, I mean, you say some of them, but look who did. If you go and look at the demographic who follow and purchase hip hop music, it's white folks.
And you know, like I was gonna say, is when you go to rap concerts. I'm a huge concert fan. You know, a lot of times, most of the audience, you know, is white. Jay-Z, Kanye West, in Baltimore, most of the people at the show were white. I saw Bone Thugs and Harmony in Silver Spring. Surprisingly, lots of white people, maybe because of the weed. But, you know, they are big consumers of the hip-hop.
The product
and,
that we produce.
Yeah, and music, you know, but I wouldn't say that all of the artists are making products for them, because there's a lot of them out there who aren't.
No, and I agree with that.
Also.
But to say that,
you know, they fall in entertainment.
For me to say that black people influence the bottom line of everything, to me, just isn't true. And I agree we have a good position, but the reality is you got to look at what we're the consumers of. I mean,
we're the consumers of everything. We are huge consumers. We buy and pay for everything.
No one, I'm gonna tell you right now. No one knew what Tom Ford was until Jay-Z and Kanye said some shit about it. No black person ever knew what the fuck Tom Ford was. We didn't care about Tom Ford. No one was rocking Tom Ford, trying to get Tom Ford.
But you're getting into another conversation about black people being used as an influence. You're getting into another conversation about black people.
I'm not getting into another conversation. I'm just telling you we affect that type of shit. That's what I'm saying.
But no, you're right. Tom Ford's sales skyrocketed, but also Tom Ford is a Black Lives Matter supporter. So, you know, I'm rocking Tom Ford eyeglasses right now, and that's one of the reasons, you know, I do so.
I'll say this.
Hey, hold on, Maurice. I'm muting all y'all. I love y'all. I'm muting the hell out of every single one of y'all.
If you play Meek Mill, I'ma stab you.
You know me coming. But hey, man, it's 11 o'clock at night. We had a hell of a conversation tonight. I'm sorry to mute you, Manwan. Sorry to mute you, Maurice. Sorry to mute you, everybody out there. Tremaine, Brandon, people listening online. Thanks for joining me and Shannon tonight. But it's 11 fucking o'clock on a Wednesday, man. I go to sleep, man. So bottom line, go to Starbucks. Don't buy nothing. But steal their compost and go sell some dirt. That's about what we learned tonight. It's been a hell of a night. I enjoyed talking to y'all. Thanks for joining the off ramp, man. Hour and a half. We had a real good night. You know, playoffs is going on. The Sixers still won. Got their next to win the championship. Ron hit a game winner tonight. I'm not sure what happened to DC. You got to talk to my man Vance. But again, props to everybody that called in. We had a lot of calls in tonight, a lot of good conversation. I tried to just filter the conversation like Mawa, Shannon, Maurice, Vance, and Tremaine and Brandon all get their good comments and a lot of good conversation around Starbucks, a lot of good conversation around Kanye. The one thing I will agree with Kanye is that, you know, the world needs more love. The main thing I've stressed about why we have so many problems with race is empathy. You know, people don't have any empathy anymore. People just don't care. And it's sad, but, you know, you got to take it one day at a time. We all going to die, so don't stress out about it. Try to enjoy your day. If you want to boycott the NFL, boycott the NFL. If somebody doesn't agree with you, don't let it bother you. If somebody agrees with you, embrace the support. If you want to boycott Starbucks. If someone next to you doesn't want to boycott Starbucks, don't judge them. We're all different people. If Kanye wants to support Trump, fuck him. All right, well, that's me for the night, man. It's been good. It's been good on the off-ramp. Meek Millie's home, baby. I'm going out with the news, man. We'll catch y'all next week on the off-ramp.